I love what my guy Donnie K has to say. Weird Twitter handle at Donnie K 6937452.
Bot.
What? That's a bot?
That's a bot. That guy's in Moscow right now. Go ahead. Continue.
He wants to call it whiff or sniff.
Ooh.
Which I think is just amazing.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. I saw someone else write in sniff or snort. That could be an option as well. You know, the sniff meter. We need to figure this out because it really comes down to the title. The actual, you know, details of the bit are very familiar and very similar to other bits we've done in the past, but we need the handle. We need a quality handle. We need to own this. And there are, you know, a variety of options. You can either just nose pin, no sniffing. You're out of the rotation, not happening. Quarter sniff, half sniff, three quarters.
I just
full,
think we keep it simple
nostril.
And we generalize it and say how wide are we going to open up your nostrils?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And like based on, you know, the Raptors winning tonight, do we feel good about that? Do we think they're going to be chasing a win? Will they be smelling a win tonight? Will the Leafs bounce back?
That's
right?
A gold dust. Yeah, that's the gold
exactly.
dust. Exactly.
Who are they playing tonight? They're not.
They're at Miami tonight. Raps at
I've
Miami.
Got a quarter of a nostril on that winning tonight. Back to back.
Back to
quarter
back.
Of a nostril.
Miami kind of owns them a little bit too.
Yeah,
I'd say I'm
Jimmy
a half.
Jimmy Buckets does.
Yeah, Jimmy Buckets. That's been an issue for them. Bam's been a problem for them in the past. But listen, they played okay last night. You knew Philly was. They were walking away with 4-4 against Milwaukee and Philly. In over the course of a week. They were going to win all four games. It wasn't going to happen. They battled, quote-unquote, last night. You'll take it. You're back to 500. You know, you're feeling good about where they are considering where they were a month ago. It's like the Raptors and the Habs took two different approaches to the season. The Raptors start 2-8, and you're like, this is getting a little bit ugly. And now they've come on strong, and they feel like they're in a position where we thought they might be. You know, not world beaters. I don't think they're going to win a championship. I don't think they're capable of doing that with this team. But I think they can compete with anyone in the East. I think they can win a couple of rounds in the East. And the Habs, you know, the first 10 games, everyone was pumping their tires. And now all of a sudden it's a tire fire.
The difference is a confidence in a coach. Nick Nurse, the confidence level in him is through the roof. Championship. Unbelievable record last year without Kawhi, and it's like the confidence level on the coach. It's one of those slam dunks where the coach is not going anywhere. The guys that are going on the court need to fix it along with the help of the coach. And the confidence wasn't there with Julian, obviously, and that's why he is not employed right now.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, that's
you
the truth.
And you got to – where's your confidence level, for example, in a Leaf win tonight? Are you three-quarter sniff?
Yeah, I'm pushing that. You know, I think – I'm more curious to see if Calgary figured something out a couple of nights ago. Can David Rittich do that again? I'm not convinced he can. I thought
or
he played
was it
really
a one-off?
Well. Exactly. It was a one-off. Calgary was really reeling. They had to have it on Monday night. You know, does that launch them back into the category of a competitive team, which is where I thought they would be and where I think they should be? I think they're better than what their record would suggest. And this could be the hurdle that the Maple Leafs were inevitably going to face. A bunch of injuries. You're down to your third-string goaltender. It could be a blessing in disguise for Sheldon Keefe to hammer home the message, no excuses. You know, teams go through it all the time. The best teams go through it all the time. Tampa's done it. Boston's done it. Boston, a couple of years ago, had nobody in the lineup, and they kept winning games.
Well, I think that's why Cassidy was up for Coach of the Year, right?
As he should have been. Of course. So now's your opportunity. And even with that said, Matthews, Marner, Tavares, Nylander, Riley, Brody, they're all playing tonight. Like, you still got a good lineup. And I didn't think they played poorly a couple of nights ago. I thought they were just okay. Yeah. They can be better, and I expect they will be tonight. So I'm curious on both sides of it. Does Calgary, you know, snap out of it and do what they were supposed to do based on getting a win a couple of nights ago, and you see even better effort tonight out of them and maybe a rejuvenated team? And do the Leafs allow, you know, themselves to avoid a two-game losing streak? Because the best teams do that. You lose one, you come right back, and you hammer home a message that you got us, but you're not going to get us again. So I think it's a good opportunity for Sheldon Keefe to get that message across, see how his team will respond.
Well, and it would be nice, as you said before, if 34 and 16 are the targets, you know what I mean? Like find a different way. You know what I mean? Find other guys to step up. Like, I keep waiting for the bottom of the roster to, you know, to be impactful. And, you know, you're looking throughout. Let's just look at the Northern Division. Edmonton's had a nice run. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's obviously McDavid and Draisaitl, but it has been other guys that have found kind of the – Tyler Ennis gets the game winner.
Like Cahoon last night had two.
Exactly.
And it doesn't have to be a dominating performance, Jamie. It's just got to be chip in here or there.
Exactly.
Slow period for the big guns, chip one in there. It doesn't help. Well, so give them a break once in a while.
Who do you feel good about doing that? Who would you say you have from three quarters nostril to a full nostril worthy of stealing?
Dude, I can't open up the nostrils more than a quarter for anybody scoring a goal or providing. You look at a guy like Mikheyev, who I like the skill set. He shoots it into the logo almost all the time.
Yeah, it's never.
I'm not confident in that. Jimmy Vesey, it's like I like what he looks like. I like the way he holds a stick. I like the way he skates. But what does he really accomplish out there? I'm not sure.
Two guys for me. Sorry, interrupting.
Go ahead.
No problem, man.
Two guys for me.
I cut everybody off all the time. Listen, you got to do it. Go ahead.
Point being, two guys for me. Kerfoot is a guy that has at least been consistent, showing some speed, showing a little bit of finish. And the other guy is Spezza. Right, like I think Spezza has the ability. He had the hat trick, obviously. But those are the two guys that. But those are the outside of that. It's been lean.
Yeah,
maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm missing somebody.
Who I would add to that is Morgan Riley. Riley can give more offensively. I think that it should be reasonable to expect that he can get more into the play and supply what he did a couple of years ago. Here's our TSN Hockey Insider, Darren Dreger. What's happening, Dregs?
Hey guys, just getting ready for the big game tonight.
Yes, sir, man. Here we go. I mean that we just threw that out there. Which side is more compelling here? Where the Leafs, you know, they lose a couple of nights ago and they've been playing so well and winning so many games. Are you waiting to see that response? Or is it Calgary that's more compelling for you, considering the way they have been playing and they finally got a win and look pretty good on Monday, and to seeing if, you know, maybe they can carry that over and get a bit of a run going here?
Yeah, Calgary's more compelling for me. I don't think they're out of the funk yet. And I've seen enough of the Toronto Maple Leafs, despite the fact that, you know, they're depleted. Yes, they have Hyman back, so that's going to make a difference. But I need to see Calgary win a couple of more. Now, it might come at the Toronto Maple Leafs' expense, but they've got to prove that. I thought David Rittich was terrific the other night, Monday night. And they got a fluky goal from Sam Bennett off of John Tavares. And then the power play clicked. And for the Maple Leafs, that didn't happen. Let the Leafs go 0-7. I don't think that's going to happen in another game this year, given the firepower of the Maple Leafs. So, there's a lot going on around Calgary. I know Brad Treliving's trying to quiet the media, especially from, you know, talking about it and speculating on what might happen and what we should expect to happen and all of those things. But I no different than Vancouver. I think Calgary needs a few more wins before they get a bit more convincing and stop us from talking.
Dregs, what happened in Montreal this morning? Ooh. Every season, it seems to have some kind of ripple effect where it can be a bang-bang thing where a couple other guys go shortly after because it's like open season. Do you see that, or it's kind of a one-off, or what do you make of it?
Yeah, you know what? Oh, it's interesting. You know, in doing our prep work for insider trading yesterday, you know, we as a small group just started kind of pontificating a little bit as to who we thought would be on a hot seat. I mean, we always joke about that hot seat. But most teams are around the 20-game mark of a 56-game season. So if there is such a thing as a hot seat in a pandemic, then it's got to be approaching for some guys. And Julian clearly was on the list. I look at John Tortorella in Columbus. You know, that's a team that I think they feel should be better. You know, the general manager, Jarmo Kekalainen, you know, he went out of his way. He brought in two real good pieces in Patrick Kane and Jack Roslovic. And they're still humping along. You know, they've had some wins. Yeah, I think maybe they played better than they did before the trade, but I don't think that they're anywhere near where they were hoping to be at this stage. So I'm not hearing specifically from anyone in Columbus that Tortorella should be looking over his shoulder. I'm just looking at the standings and looking at some of the trouble spots. Nashville's another one, but I don't think David Poile is looking to gong his coach. I think he wants to be more active on the trade front. And you know, then beyond that, you know, I think it gets pretty lean after that. You know, Dallas is been buckled with COVID early in the year, and we know that they've got good coaching there. So if I were putting money down, I'd probably look closer at Columbus, but there's no guarantee.
Dregs, we were talking about it earlier about, you know, different organizations, you know, Buffalo, a guy like Jack Eichel. But, I mean, for your money or your mind, has things kind of heated up behind the scenes? I know you mentioned that Brad Treliving's trying to calm the waters, but I would argue that there's probably managers out there saying, if I'm going to be proactive to add to my team,
right,
and maybe be looking at a player cross border, I'm going to have to figure out that 2 weeks is going to bite into what we have left in the season. So do you think that the trade talk behind the scenes have been heating up a little bit?
I think it has been. And you know, your point is well made. You know, given that we've got the April 12th trade deadline, you probably wanting to get ahead of that, right? So I'm looking at somewhere around the middle of March as being a bit of a Jimmy Rutherford spot. Like, Jimmy always wanted to get his trades out of the way early, creeping towards the trade deadline. And you're right. I mean, look, you don't have to be Kevin Cheveldayoff. The other six general managers in the Canadian division watched him go through pain and suffering while Pierre-Luc Dubois was in exile in 14-day quarantine. And then he comes back and then he pulls a muscle or whatever he did. And that took him out of play for a couple of games. I mean, all of that stuff matters, particularly as we close in on the second half of the season. So I'm a little bit worried, as I am every year coming up to the deadline, how active it's going to be. I think that, you know, given the salary cap at 81.5, the fact that it has to be dollar in, dollar out combined with the restrictions around COVID-19, it could be a real dud. I mean, we could be talking about Sam Bennett on April 12th. We could be talking about Jake Virtanen in Vancouver around April 12th. Although, I feel like there might be something going on with the Vancouver Canucks, so we'll keep an eye on that. But I honestly don't know that we're going to see any of the big names unless David Poile surprises us and actually moves some of those players.
Well, also, when you look at it, Dregs, like, we're so hyper-focused on the All-Canadian division, which is to be expected and will continue. There's some pretty big surprises in the States. You know, most notably Chicago, who continues to win. They won again last night. And the Kings have won five in a row, and all of a sudden they're in the mix. And, like, those are two teams that I don't think anyone had any expectations for. You might throw Florida into that mix as well. Though they were a middle-of-the-pack mediocre team last year. It's not as shocking. But Chicago and L.A., right in the mix. Like, those were two teams I had circled thinking they're going to dump off veteran guys and build for the future. I don't think you can do that if you're those two teams and you're all of a sudden in a playoff spot.
Yeah, that gets dicey for sure, although that's what both those teams need, no question about that. L.A. is interesting to me. You know, there was a Jonathan Quick rumor that surfaced a couple of weeks ago, which was quickly shot down by the Los Angeles Kings. You know what? It kind of went hand in hand with the Pittsburgh Penguins hiring Ron Hextall as head coach, right? And we know that in the bigger picture, the Pittsburgh Penguins are looking for a goaltender. So we're going to have to watch closely to see what Los Angeles or the Chicago Blackhawks do. You know, right now, I know both those clubs, no different than the Ottawa Senators, are happy just keeping it competitive and keeping it interesting. And So in the short term, that matters, but I don't think the general managers, Stan Bowman and Rob Blake, are worrying about short term. I think they still have the bigger picture and longer term insight.
Yeah, well, and that's probably smart management. You know, that's not just because you might get in doesn't mean you hold on to the spot by the time the playoffs come around. Doesn't mean you're going to do any damage. I think it's even more probably pointed in Chicago based on the letter they sent out before the year. They're like, we're basically tanking. We're back. Like, Jonathan Toews, what is up with him? When are we going to hear anything on Toews? And
it's been real quiet on that front. And trust me, we check every single week, right? Just looking for an update. You know, is he getting better? Is he getting to a place where he can start skating again and looking at a return to the Chicago Blackhawks? But every time we check in, we get the same response. Nah, not much of an update. You know, those close to Jonathan Toews, will admit that they feel like he's getting better, but he's not at a point yet where he's ready to get back onto the ice and return to training with the Chicago Blackhawks. And, hey, we know Toews, man. He is a super private, confidential guy. So whatever he's got going on, man, they've got that deep under lock and key. Because,
I guess.
Yeah, and look, you know, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. You know, if it's a non-hockey related situation, which it seems pretty obvious at this point, that's what it is, then I'm not so sure it's our business to know. I mean, what we know is pretty obvious that he's not able to return to the Chicago Blackhawks in the NHL anytime soon. But mm-hmm. I also don't get the sense that there's something that is considerably more dire, and we might be looking at a bigger announcement in the near future. Nobody's willing to go there yet.
With Darren Dreger, a hockey insider, the Habs job appears to be open. I mean, Ducharme is in on an interim basis. I guess they'll revisit this at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Mike Babcock is still a free agent coach, and his dream has been Montreal. He went to school in McGill. Obviously, people are going to connect the dots. I guess I'm doing that right now. Is that
yeah,
even
you are.
Realistic? Is that reasonable? Is it possible? Does he speak French? I mean, what can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't feel reasonable to me. Well, for a number of reasons. As far as I know, Mike Babcock doesn't speak French. And you know, right or wrong, I mean, we can have this debate. You know, shouldn't you just hire the best coach possible, regardless of being in Montreal or not? And the response that I always get from French-speaking media, especially in Montreal, is no, you need a French-speaking coach. And I understand that. And I think that ownership in Montreal believes that as well. You know, I do think Babcock is going to coach in the NHL again. I do. But, you know, he still requires a bit more time. I think that it's going to be a team not dissimilar to Montreal that feels like they're trending towards a place where they're going to be a cup-contending team. But he might be better suited with less scrutiny and in the U.S. And there's no guarantee he's going to get back, right? I mean, he still has a big ticket for the next couple of years, and I'm not sure anybody wants to shoulder that, even though the Leafs are on the hook now. So I'm willing to consider the possibility that he coaches again in the NHL. In fact, I believe it, but I don't think he's the right fit in Montreal.
Darren, have you got a sniff of anything going on in Buffalo? Like, we were talking about them earlier, how brutal they are. Like, what are their intentions? Like, this is turning into a sideshow again, and it's like, Eichel, do you move them? Like, any sniff of what's going on down there?
Well, look, I mean, Kevin Adams is just putting fire out after fire. I mean, that's kind of what he does as general manager of the Buffalo Sabres. You know, they came out of the COVID mess, and we're hoping that, you know, they could hit a bit of a reset. You know, there are some who wonder, is Jack Eichel hurt? Well, Ralph Kruger insists he's not hurt. And the organization believes that he's not hurt, but his body language and the way he's playing, it doesn't look good at all. And, you know, prior to the start of this season, go back into the summer, you know, it's believed that Eichel had a conversation, and part of that conversation was wanting a change, wanting out of Buffalo. Now they find a way to talk him into changing from that mindset, and they brought in Taylor Hall at $8 million and thought that, look, you know, with a real good year, maybe things would settle down. It's gone the exact opposite way. It's almost unbelievable how bad things have gotten, to a point where, you know, Ralph Kruger is scratching a $72 million contract in back-to-back games in Jeff Skinner. I mean, that's an immovable contract right now. So the general manager is in a pickle there, unless the Pegulas, the owners, come down and direct him to do whatever they feel he needs to do, from readdressing coaching to whatever. But specific to Eichel, if this team continues to plod along here in the way that they are, then I can't imagine this situation isn't revisited at around the trade deadline or in the offseason. But if he wants to change, then he's going to have to play better and start putting the puck in the net.
Yep, that's
no
for sure.
Kidding.
Yep, yeah. We'll see where it goes. Good stuff, buddy. As always, we'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
All right, guys. Have a great night.
Darren Dreger, our TSN Hockey Insider. Yeah, it's a scene down there in Buffalo. A scene in Buffalo. Although they won last night, so maybe they're feeling a little bit better about themselves.
Wow, they got
totally irrelevant.
You got to go on a run. That's the thing. Like, with this shortened season, you need a minimum of a 5-game run because you're playing against each other. And it's the same thing. You go on an 0-5 run, you're in good good shape. Look at Montreal. Like, that's basically what it was.
Right.
You know, you got, you picked up some loser points, so you're still kind of hanging in there. But if you go on a 5-0 or 7-1, that type of run, you're right in the thick of things. But you go on the vice versa.
That's 10% of your sched. And
you're losing against the teams that you're fighting with. So that's the biggest challenge, to have that consistency, yeah, that if you have a dip, then you run out of runway. Exactly.
Yeah, and you're running out of time, because I don't care about how long the season is. When you start getting into, it's March soon, and no matter what, March is like the end of the tunnel is coming up, and you better have your you-know-what together, because there's no time, man.
No.
Jamie just said it. You're running out of runway.
Yeah, and coaches going may be the only option, too. I mean, Dreg's pointing that out. Like, trade deadline, it may be a lot of hypotheticals and,
dude,
you know,
who's
we'll
getting
see.
Traded this year with the quarantine and stuff? Like, honestly, we're going to sit back there, and we better get Jerry D or somebody in there, because it'll be a sideshow.
Wow. What's Jerry? Is he going to just do an hour of comedy act?
We should have Jerry D do an act. His whole act for an hour. Jerry's up. Doesn't matter what happens when he's on. Crosby could be traded straight up for Ovi. We do not break away from Jerry D doing his act.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love it. I've seen him several times. He's so good.
All right.
So good.
We'll throw it out there. We'll see. We'll see what's available to us. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine later in the hour. Caught up with Chris Hogan, two-time Super Bowl champ. Played in Buffalo, played in New England, played with the Jets this past year. He wants to keep playing in the NFL, but he is going to play in the Premier Lacrosse League. He's going to test out lacrosse. He's 33. He's been in the NFL for 10 years. Two-sport guy, two-sport athlete. We'll catch up with him. Really cool story. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, we'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine a little bit later in the hour. Leafs in action tonight. Raptors in action tonight. Bunch of games in both leagues. And tomorrow's big day in the golf world, where the WGC Workday will tee off. And there's also a tournament going on in Puerto Rico, I believe. I'm going to have to mix that field in, too. That's like the American Hockey League, basically, at a golf scene right now. But we could look around there.
Oh, we can open up both nostrils for that and also come up with a three-pack.
Yes.
Let's look at the field.
Let's look at
the field.
I think we sniff around the field and we sniff around that idea. We will do that tonight. But Chris Hogan is a guy that he loves the AFC East. He's played for the Bills, the Pats, the Jets. He also spent some time in Carolina, but he won two Super Bowls, went to three in a row with New England. Prior to that was in Buffalo. Really quality guy, really quality wide receiver, and he's always loved lacrosse. He played lacrosse growing up, played it a bit in college, and he's decided, I'm going to try it out, man. I want to try out playing professional lacrosse, and he's going to do that in the PLL. That draft is upcoming. He will be in the draft, and he's going to go play. He's committed to it. And he wants to stay in the NFL if he can. You know, at this point, he's a free agent. Well, who knows if it's going to happen or not. But we began by asking him that. You know, Chris Hogan, take us through this process. Why all of a sudden, at 33, after 10 years in the NFL, you decided, I'm going to test out the whole professional scene of lacrosse?
I mean, just going to throw it out there. I'm not officially hanging him up football-wise, but – not closing that door yet, but, you know, at this point in my career, you know, I've played 10 years in the league. I started in lacrosse, really was my roots of, you know, where I began this whole journey. I always wanted to end up doing something in lacrosse. Didn't know what it was going to entail, but, you know, I kind of had this opportunity put in front of me, and I thought it would be such a unique opportunity to play two professional sports. Especially at the level that the PLL has created, you know, it's fascinating. It's exciting. You know, so I'm gearing up. I'm getting the stick back in my hands and, you know, excited about the opportunity to compete with these guys.
Well, obviously you played lacrosse growing up and you're familiar with the sport. You're quality at the sport. But while you've been in the NFL, I'm sure that's taken up the majority of your focus. So how often during off seasons, you know, over the past decade or so, have you even been picking up a lacrosse stick and going out there and playing?
I mean, I haven't really been playing too much. I've always had, you know, I've got lacrosse sticks, you know, scattered all over my house. And, you know, I pick them up during the year. I've always had one in my locker throughout the season just to pick up and play around with. You know, so I picked it up. It's definitely something that
I haven't lost, but it'll be something that I'm going to have to get back to training for. Shooting on the run, the physical, the training, the conditioning, that stuff is not going to change for me, whether I'm playing football or lacrosse. It's really just about getting back on the field and working on that skill specific stuff. So, I got a few months here before the draft and before the season starts. So I'm just kind of kicking that into high gear and, doing as much as I can.
That's where I was going to go. So you're saying that the training is not really different, or you're just going to train really like you're a multi-sport guy, obviously, but there's no difference in training for football than there is for lacrosse per se?
No, not really. My football training every single year has really just been focused on speed and acceleration and, maintaining the strength that I have. Always trying to get a little bit stronger in different areas. But I think maybe the biggest difference might be just a little bit more of, the conditioning part of things, because lacrosse is, such a fast paced game, and really there's not much slowing down, while you're on the field. So being able to run and sprint at for longer periods of time rather than, an average football play is, 4 or 5 seconds long. Playing in lacrosse, probably, I could be running for, a few minutes, So I think that the conditioning part of things, I'll have to focus on a little bit more. And, but other than that, I haven't really changed much other than, really just, everything I do every morning starts off with, hitting the wall or shooting.
How did you deal with the violence in lacrosse? I'm telling you what, I played hockey my whole life, and I thought it was kind of a dangerous, violent sport. I showed up at a lacrosse game, and people were cross-checking each other across the neck as hard as they could, and I couldn't believe what I was watching. How do you actually – how was there not fights and brawls every game?
Dude, I have no idea. It's like – You gotta have the ultimate restraint when you play this sport,
because God.
It's like, you're getting, hitting the shins, hitting the forearms. It seems like every year guys are wearing less and less padding too, which is kind of crazy. But, I guess you can dish it out as much as you can take it, right?
Are you allowed to just tee off and slash a guy with your stick as hard as you can? Like, I saw some stuff where I'm like, there is no way that's allowed.
Get away with it. there's definitely some things that you can get away with. As I would say, as long as you're trying to make contact with, a padded area of, of the guy that you're playing against, I think you can get away with taking some healthy hacks at people. I think once you start kind of making contact with areas that are not as padded, once that, the level of play, I feel like they just let more and more go. It's a physical sport. For people that don't know anything about it, they watch hockey and then, you kind of transition over to lacrosse just on a bigger field. It's definitely, there's more room and it's not as condensed, but people are still getting after it.
Oh, big time, man. It's an awesome sport to see live. It's a great sport. We're chatting with Chris Hogan, two-time Super Bowl champ, longtime NFL wideout, and he's going to be a part of the Premier Lacrosse League, like you mentioned. He's waiting for the draft. He'll see where he goes, and he's going to start playing. And you're coming in with a profile. You're as I said, you got millions in the bank. You've won two Super Bowls. You played in three straight for New England. Your boys with Brady. Considering what we just talked about, do you think there'll be more of a target on your back, considering the nature of the sport? And here you come, Chris Hogan. You're rolling in there. Do you think the all eyes are going to be on you to make sure that you're bringing what you're supposed to bring?
Listen, I'm sure that everyone's going to be anxiously waiting to see, what I'm capable of doing. And whether that's a target on my back or whatever it is, it's always welcomed. Playing in the NFL is not something that was an easy job for the last 10 years. And, when you play, especially in a place like New England, you have a target on your back every single week, and guys are giving you their best every single week, week in and week out for, however long you make it in the season. So I learned that pretty quickly when I got my chance to play up there for 3 years. And I expect to go out on the lacrosse field and compete with these guys. And I expect them to, you know, give me everything that they have. And I hope that they expect that I'm going to go out on the field and give them everything that I have for as long as I have the opportunity to play against these guys. And, you know, I'm working hard to, you know, really go out there and put my best, you know, version of Chris Hogan, the lacrosse player, out there. And, you know, I hope that I can earn the respect of these guys pretty quickly.
Well, that 3-year run in New England, you show up, you come from Buffalo, and, you know, your years in Buffalo, you knew what was going on in the AFC East. You knew what Brady and Belichick and the Pats were all about. You were on the wrong side of it for a few years. And then you roll into New England, you go to 3 straight Super Bowls and win 2 of them. Just an unbelievable run. And can you take us through, like, when it dawned on you, okay, I'm not only at a great spot here, and I'm riding shotgun here with Brady and Belichick and the whole crew, but I'm about to do something, you know, if I could do it once, I'd be ecstatic. I'm about to do it 3 times, going to the Super Bowl year in, year out.
It was a wild ride. I mean, getting to the first one was something that, you know, you obviously, when you start this journey and playing the NFL, that's the ultimate goal, right? To get to the Super Bowl and get a chance to play on that big stage. And, you know, I was just so fortunate to be able to make it there that first year, you know, have a good year with them and really contribute to that team. And then to win it in the fashion that we did win it, you know, that, I mean, couldn't have wrote that story any better to cap off that year. And then the years to follow, I mean, it was just like every single year, you know, people tried to write us off, said that, you know, we weren't going to be good enough, didn't have the talent. You know, heard the whole Brady's too old and didn't have enough weapons, you know, year in and year out. But we had a good team in New England. You know, a lot of guys that just wanted to contribute as much as they could, try to win football games. Bill had us prepared as best as we could every single week. And, you know, getting a chance to go to 3 Super Bowls in 3 years was pretty special. You know, I wish I would have had that. Wish I would have went 3 for 3, but I'll take 2 out of 3.
Yeah, no kidding, man. 2 out of 3 is pretty good. How often? What was the party like, you know, when you guys won the Super Bowls? We just saw Brady and Gronk doing what they were doing down in Tampa. Was it similar up in New England? How would you compare the two?
Yeah, I mean, it would have been nice to be on a boat in the sun, rather than, you know, freezing your butt off in New England. But honestly, the parties, the parades that we went on it was incredible. I mean, they literally, you know, the whole city shuts down. You got millions of people just flooding the entire street. You know, the fan base in New England is amazing. You know, everyone lives and breathes, you know, Patriot football up there. And getting a chance to experience that a few times, you know, it was awesome. I mean, it's wild. People go crazy up there, you know, during the parade. So definitely stuff that memories that I'll never forget, you know, getting a chance to do that a few times.
We've talked about the Super Bowl ring, like a championship ring conversation on the show a lot, because they're all like obnoxious, man. They're just outrageously large and expensive. Yeah. And we've asked past champions on the show before, how often do you bring it out? You know, how often do you wear it, and where would you wear it? Can you answer that for us? What is your daily routine, or monthly or yearly routine with the Super Bowl rings?
I literally don't. I can't. It would weigh down my hand to have these things, you know, wear them out. It just, I feel like I don't even know what the occasion would be. It probably would have to be like a reunion of some sort for, you know, for the New England, you know, Patriots 2016 and 2018, you know, Super Bowl champion team to wear them again. You know,
Chris,
they're
don't you think it's a good idea? Don't you think it's a good idea for teams to have 2? Like, one that goes in the trophy case and one that's a small, like an older one that they handed out in the 70s or 80s or something, that's reasonable to wear out. I wonder why teams don't do that. I think it would be awesome.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I guess it's just become such a an expectation. You know, every single year it's like, you know, who can outdo the last ring?
Ah,
you know,
that's
it's
crazy,
like,
man.
And, In New England, obviously, they kept having to add more and more trophies onto it because they added every single trophy that they won. So the thing just kept getting bigger and bigger. You know, it's pretty it's pretty awesome to have them. I do not wear them very often, if at all. They're you know, they're in a safe, and you know, for safekeeping, and you know, they're nice to look at and show people every now and then who are supporters and fans, just to show them like exactly what it looks like and how much these things weigh.
Yeah, it's very cool to have. I don't dispute that. And I'm not surprised. Like, you can't really wear that around. You're not going down to like a 7-Eleven wearing a Super Bowl.
No, definitely not.
No, it's not happening. The Premier Lacrosse League, the draft is coming up. Chris Hogan will be in it. He's going. He's going to be playing in this league. It's a really, really cool story. Good luck with that. Good luck with your next chapter in the NFL as well. And we really appreciate you taking time for us. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate you having me on.
There he is, Chris Hogan, friend of the show. Love it. Got to track that story, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's cool.
I think it's awesome.
The two-sport athlete, it's not possible anymore. You don't see it. And I wish we could get back to that. It just doesn't seem
overly
realistic.
Who's the last guy? Who's the last two-sport? I didn't realize, though, I just read, was it last week, that Tebow was retiring? I didn't even know he was playing still.
Yeah, he was keeping that dream alive, I guess, but he was never
prime
playing.
Time
he
was
bad
last
at two sports
guy, wasn't
right
it?
Exactly. Yeah, prime time and Bo Jackson are the two. Like, prime time was playing in the World Series in the early 90s, right? And was
right.
Like at the top of his game, maybe the best player in football, and then he showed up in Atlanta and was playing, you know, like playing right. Legitimate baseball, which is pretty crazy. But yeah, he would have been, it was him and Bo Jackson, like those are the two. Like, Bo was like a legit superstar with both. Bo Jackson, yeah. Is
dude, that guy has some highlights where he's in the outfield and he catches the ball and the guy at first base is clowning around or whatever, and this guy will throw a rope back to first base that almost rips the first baseman's arm right off. It's incredible to see some of those highlights.
Just
they're
insane.
Borderline look doctored like those goofy ones where guys are throwing balls at a stadium. Like, this guy had an arm that was outrageous.
Well, he would strike out and snap his bat in half.
Right. Do you know how strong you have to be
to snap
a baseball bat in half?
That would break my leg if I tried to do that. Like, that's crazy.
So impressive. Like, so impressive. And it's a combination of having a thigh that is the size of a pizza box.
Yeah. Dude, I don't know if you've ever been down, like, just hanging around the batting cage or whatever, Hayes, but I find baseball players, I thought they were enormous human beings. Like, people think, like, they're, like, same as hockey, whatever. I was down there. These guys looked massive to me. Jamie, you've hung around a bunch of baseball guys. I found them to be monsters.
Well,
absolute
the guys that,
monsters.
The guys I hung around in the late 90s, it was Mark McGwire. He was my neighbor. And, you know, Ricky Ankiel, Jimmy Edmonds. But Jimmy Edmonds was thick. Like, he had a good build, and you're right, he had a base. Like, he had a leg. He almost had the hockey player build. He kind of had a, you know, big legs and a big rear end. He's still playing. He was on that long-term deal. He's out west. I'm drawing a blank on his name. Played
Pujols.
For the Cardinals.
Pujols.
Yeah, Albert Pujols. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that
Pujols
guy was...
is a monster. And it sounds like this is going to be his victory lap or his, you know, basically swan song this year.
Gotta be, man.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, he's got so much money. I think he might still have more years on the deal. Not that it matters to him. He's made hundreds of millions of dollars. But yeah, Pujols is a giant. I have been around a cage multiple times, and it depends. Like, sometimes it can be deceiving because you also see some guys and you're like Jose Bautista was kind of thin, you know, like he was tall. He was taller than you might expect. But then you look at Donaldson. Edwin was a big boy. Like, Encarnacion was a beast. And it just, you know, it depends.
I guess one of my first experiences, I was in Montreal and we were in the playoffs against the Habs. And I was down on the field, and I met Larry Walker, and I was like, this guy's a big dude, man.
Big boy.
Yeah, he was.
Like,
big
this guy was just, I was like, God. Like, I was like, I'm not that tall. I'm barely 6 feet tall. This guy just seemed like a monster, and everyone's looking around at everyone else in the Colorado Rockies. I'm like, these dudes are massive, man. They're athletes, all right.
Yeah, oh, for sure they are. We'll come back and get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Tee up the Leaf game tonight, the Raptor game. We're still waiting on status of Kyle Lowry for the game tonight. Try to get you an update on that as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, so Kyle Lowry is in tonight. He will play tonight. That announcement just came down. OG Anunoby will play tonight as well. Not that he's injured, but he's coming off that injury, and he did not play in the last back-to-back. But he's going tonight. He played last night. He will play tonight. This is a big one because you got Miami chasing. You know, Miami's behind you. You know they're a good team. They have kind of owned the Raptors in the past. And this is a chance for both the Raptors, the Leafs tonight, coming off a loss, get up off the mat, go do some damage tonight. So Raptors-Miami, you can hear that on TSN Radio pregame in about 10 minutes. And Leafs-Flames tonight. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the NHL board tonight, I will take Philly at home against the Rangers. Anaheim's paying 230. They've lost, what, 4 or 5 in a row? I think they're due for a win. They're playing Arizona tonight. That's a big price.
Give them some love.
Give them a little bit of love. And I'm on Colorado at home against Manny. You could throw down 20 and score 113. Find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. ProLine is the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, put your knowledge on the line. So Leafs and Raptors in action tonight. We didn't get to the whole Canadian Open thing earlier because it was announced today, John Torrey announcing that, you know, all basically outdoor activities that would lead to having people come together in groups have been canceled or postponed through July 1. So the Canadian Open is happening in the middle of June. It's supposed to be at St. George's, which is here in Toronto. What does that mean?
Dude, if they're going to make – there was the same thing last year where there's like there's no events, there's no anything, and they let hockey happen. You have to let the Canadian Open happen, don't you?
I think so. It's just a matter of whether or not they feel like it makes sense if you can't sell tickets. But I would hope so. I'm with you. I mean, you missed it last year, like for obvious reasons, but you get out of sync for a couple of years.
They just say, oh, they'll find somewhere else in a second.
Oh, the PGA Tour for sure. Oh, someone else will put their hand up and say, we'll take that weekend.
Yeah.
You know, come on down. So I hope they can find a way to make this work. I don't know the logistics in terms of permits, in terms of what has to happen with security and all that kind of stuff. But I hope and I'd like to believe, although I feel like I've been saying this for the better part of a year, we're in a different spot come the middle of June. You know, like we're making a call for the summer. It's February still. Let's see where we're at.
Dude, I'm not getting into it again, but how could we be in a better spot in June if our vaccination process is so far behind? It just gets worse every day, the outlook of this. So I'm skeptical, Brian. I don't want to get into this nonsense because this is not our show, but tough to be optimistic, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah, you're right. It is tough to be optimistic, but, you know, you're hoping the numbers continue to head down. It's just is there any option? You can't move weekends, right? Like that's
the
hard date, right? Yeah, that's the tough
one. And they just kind of switched up the Canadian Open. It was usually after the British, and recently they've had a schedule change where the PGA Tour is at a different spot. The Canadian Open, which I think is a massive benefit not to be right after the British, because who the hell wants to get on a red eye and tee it up in Canada after that? So they kind of got a good spot here, and now it might be all jacked up.
Yeah. I mean, forever they were in September, and it just got lost. Like, guys would just be like, I'm out of season. I'm not doing it. I think they're now right after the U.S. Open. It's either right after or right before the U.S. Open. It might be – I can't remember. I'd have to look it up.
It was the weekend before, because I remember guys played and then flew right out to Pebble Beach after. So it's the weekend before the U.S. Open.
Which is beneficial because guys a lot of times want to play the week before.
Yeah.
Right.
But I'll take an August, September right now. You wonder if they could try and trade with some. I mean, I know you can't, but
can't
I'm just saying, like,
it's tough to do.
I know.
Tour.
It just, if you could buy yourself a couple more months, you just think that, you know, the rest of the world is vaccinating. You hope that we catch up at that point. Like, that's, I don't know. Again,
well, but why would the PGA Tour wait for us? You know, like, they're like, if you can't figure it out after, like, last year, we get it. The borders. We're closing, I guess, technically they still would be for this, but and maybe that's a part of the logistics as well. You're having players fly in from the States. They're going to be here. They're not going to quarantine. They're not showing up 2 weeks before. Like, they're flying in on Monday and they're playing. So I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work, but that would be a real bummer if 2 years in a row you just wipe out the Canadian Open. I haven't heard anything on the British Open. Like, I believe it's coming back, and I know it's been scheduled, but they blew it out last year. It's the only major that got canceled a year ago. So I guess there's a lot of balls up in the air at this point, you know, in the sports world. But we'll see. Yeah. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Hopefully we get some sort of clarity at some point on the RBC Canadian Open. Because St. George is such a great course. And golf fans in Toronto, it's a great place to go watch a big tournament, right, with a great field. So we'll find out. Leafs in action tonight. Raptors in action. The Raptors are coming up next right here on TSN Radio. It's been a fun one today. Noodles, you're off tomorrow.
Yeah.
Back on
back
Friday,
right in this spot on Friday. Fired up.
Still in Ottawa. The whole week in Ottawa. I love it. And tomorrow we got a big show. We got Shapiro coming up tomorrow. We got Nick Nurse on the show tomorrow. Got a lot cooking tomorrow afternoon. We are out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the game tonight. We are back tomorrow at
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.